In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
This is a CBC podcast.
How's this for a story? Scott Joplin, like the composer behind The Entertainer and The Maple Leaf Rag, wrote an opera called Treemonisha that for a long time was lost. Now that opera is about to be staged in its entirety in Toronto, Leah Simone Bowen is behind the new staging and she'll be here to tell you all about it. I'm Tom Power. You're listening to Q.
Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science where ever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tom Power. You're listening to Q. That's some of The Entertainer, written by Scott Joplin. Classic of ragtime music. You might know from like movies like The Sting or, I don't know, the soundtrack to silent movies where someone snatches a pie off a windowsill. Can I tell you something cool about that recording you're listening to right now? Can I nerd out a little bit? That's actually Scott Joplin. Like, obviously, he wasn't recorded in like a studio or anything like that, but that's a piano roll, meaning that he sat down and the piano recorded Scott Joplin performing into this sort of scroll that goes into a player piano. So what you're listening to right now is as close as we're ever going to get to hearing what Scott Joplin sounds like. All right, I'll put my glasses away and tell you that Scott Joplin, if you don't know, hugely influential African-American composer, mainly known for ragtime, like that tune, or the Maple Leaf Rag. What you might not know is that he wrote an opera. It was back in 1911, and the reason you might not know about it is that Scott Joplin never lived to see it performed, and for decades, it was kind of lost. That opera was called Treemonisha, and this week, over a century after Scott Joplin wrote the original, a new version of the work is opening in Canada. So Leah Simone Bowen is a good friend of our show. She's a writer and producer and podcast host. She does shows like Podcast Playlist and The Secret Life of Canada, both from the CBC. And for nearly a decade, Leah has been adapting Treemonisha, reimagining the opera with a new story and a new libretto. That version opens tomorrow as part of the Luminato Festival in Toronto. To talk about Treemonisha, to talk about Scott Joplin, and to talk about how it feels to stage a lost opera, I spoke to Leah Simone Bowen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Thanks for asking. How are you feeling now that this, I mean, how long have you been working on this thing?
Since 2014, I started writing it.
And, I mean, how are you feeling now that it's finally, because it was delayed by the pandemic, how are you feeling now that it's finally happening?
You know, to be completely honest, I will not believe that it has happened until I actually sit in the audience and watch it happening, because it's had so many stops and starts. And like you mentioned, we were all set to start rehearsals in February of 2020. And then we all know what happened after that. So yeah, it's a long time coming.
I'm glad it's finally happening. Let's let people know kind of the story behind this thing. So Scott Joplin writes Treemonisha in 1911. It's often referred to as a lost opera. What happened to it?
Well, the piano vocal is the only thing that survived. He did manage to get it published. He really struggled to find a publisher that wanted to see this thing to fruition, and he ended up saving his money. I think it cost him $50,000 in our terms today to get it published, which was all his money, and he really died in the poorhouse because of it. So the piece is actually set about 20 years after the American Civil War, and it centers around a young African-American woman who is named Treemonisha because she's found under a tree, and so she's named after the tree and her adoptive mother, Monisha. And he sets it in a dense forest close to where he grew up. And he describes it as an isolated community that hasn't yet had access to education. And they're preyed upon traveling conjurers who sell the community amulets and good luck charms and practice hoodoo, which is a form of spirituality that enslaved people practiced. And Treemonisha really sees this as an example of a past belief that's holding her community back. And so she ends up leading her people away from Khonjri and towards the future. And she's able to do that because she's the only educated person in her community. And it really presents this argument that was happening in this time period among Black people, which is, you know, how are we going to find a way forward through this? And Joplin really felt strongly that it was through education.
How innovative or sort of groundbreaking compared to the other operas of its time was Treemonisha?
I mean, hugely groundbreaking because, I mean, the primary reason is because he chose a woman as the lead character to tell this story through a woman's eyes, which is quite extraordinary. And a lot of historians think that he based this opera off of his own life and his wife, who died very early on. I think they were married for 10 months, but she was educated. And he set, you know, Treemonisha's birthday is his former wife, Freddie's birthday. And so that alone makes it groundbreaking, but it's also an entirely what was defined as the time, you know, in the headlines in the newspaper called it a Negro opera, strictly Negro opera. And so that also makes it quite extraordinary.
We have a little of the 1975 performance of Treemonisha. Let's just take a listen to that.
Sure.
That is Wreath from Scott Joplin's opera Treemonisha, being performed in New York back in the 1970s. Leah, you mentioned that this being an opera about Black lives post-slavery was in itself groundbreaking.
Yeah, I mean, Scott Joplin was the first generation born post-slavery. His father was formerly enslaved. His mother was freeborn. And so, you know, even at the time, it was lauded and his work was lauded for being really specifically an American opera, because it was about an issue within the Black community in America, because it had blended both ragtime and, you know, Western classical elements. It was seen as quite extraordinary, even though it never got produced. And so it's just such a beautiful document of a specific period of time that there are no other operas like this of this time written by African Americans. So that's what makes it pretty extraordinary.
Joplin, this is interesting to me because Joplin is primarily known as sort of a ragtime composer, you know, the Maple Leaf Rag and the Entertainer. And, you know, ragtime was sort of this burgeoning pop and jazz music of its day. And of course became, you know, incredibly influential in the development of jazz and blues and all that. Why was he interested in branching out and taking on an opera at all?
Well, I think he saw himself as a musician, period, you know, and that he wasn't just a ragtime composer. He was part of Treemonisha's story, which he writes as a preface in the libretto, is that Treemonisha is raised by her parents and they save money and send her to a white woman in town to be educated. And that mirrors Joplin's life. He was sent into town by his mother, who saved money to give him music lessons by a German musician. And I think that had a profound impact on Joplin and his musical style. And you see that throughout his life. And that is why he was so distinct as a ragtime composer. You know, there was ragtime before Joplin, but when he arrived on the scene, he completely changed the scale and the popularity of ragtime because what he was able to do within that music.
Thank you.
And so I think he was just an artist and wanted to push himself musically and play with all these musical styles within this work.
Okay, so now we've sort of set up the stakes, we've sort of set up the history behind the piece. And now we should talk a little bit about your adaptation of it. So let's take a listen to a little bit of it.
This girl here is a searching for her mama, so will bring. I'm Nana, take the
from the new adaptation of Scott Joplin's Treemonisha, that's Spell of the Dead. So Leah, I know that when you first signed up for this project, you weren't that familiar with Joplin. You obviously know a lot about Scott Joplin right now, because I just feel like I got a beautiful, like, real-life Wikipedia lesson about the life of Scott Joplin.
I can go longer on Joplin. I mean, what do you want to know? But
listen, ready. I'm ready for Social Security. I'm ready for anything. Tell me about your adaptation. What did you want to do with this?
Well, the adaptation, like I said, took a lot of time, 10 years, and I spent a lot of time with the team trying to figure out where Joplin's point of view came from, where this central argument that these people coming into the community selling these amulets and practicing hoodoo was bad, and that the only way forward really was through this particular kind of Western education that Treemonisha received. And so the adaptation really, for me, follows Joplin's story quite closely, except now Treemonisha's education is a doorway for her to be curious about who these people are coming into the community. She's curious about hoodoo. She doesn't dismiss them as being ignorant. And so that song that you just played, the original Joplin is called Superstition, and it goes through all of the, you know, what Joplin sees as really harmful beliefs of hoodoo and of the conjurers. And in our version, we have this matriarch that Treemonisha meets in the woods, Nana, recounting how this particular spirituality is actually very connected to Africa. It's not evil, and it's helped them survive.
Why was that an important change for you to make?
I think, that time period, it was a necessity for Joplin to think the way he did for himself. You know, there were huge repercussions during the time of enslavement and even for people after to be practicing these kind of practices. Mm. And there was a reason that people started to fear it, to think that it was evil, to look down on it. But obviously, with the gift of time and looking back on it, that time period also had a whole other group of people who said, you know what, this isn't a thing to be feared. We can be African and American. And how do we move forward with both those things? And so that's what we're really looking at in this adaptation.
It's interesting to think about that. You know, we've been talking about sort of how groundbreaking and innovative Treemonisha was when it was composed by Joplin. And then every now and then, you'll say something like, yeah, it really was. Too bad it never got performed, or too bad it was never produced. So we had Terrence Blanchard on the show a few weeks ago. So for people who don't know, Terrence is a musician and a composer, and he recently staged two operas at the Met in New York, and they were the first two pieces by a Black composer in the Met's opera history. And he talked specifically about how different opera would be if works like Treemonisha had been given a stage. Just take a listen to this.
This is the way that I talk about it. You know, I listened to Highway One by William Grant Still and then Treemonisha, two great composers, two great operas, but never really put on the stage. So if those guys' operas would have been produced, who knows what that could have inspired from other musicians. You know, can you imagine McCoy Tyner writing an opera, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Thelonious Monk? You know,
what do you make of what he's saying there?
It's so true. I mean, you know, and the thing with Joplin is that when I was talking about him being this king of, described as king of ragtime, he really set the blueprint. You know, ragtime is kind of the blueprint for all pop music as we know it today. And so I can't but think what would have happened if Treemonisha had been had the backers that it needed and had been performed, because, you know, every time he published a new piece of music, it instantly became a hit. And so why wouldn't have that happened with Treemonisha? What would have had done to opera culture to see Black opera performers singing Black music? Because, of course, we have after that Porgy and Bess and all of these other operas, but they all had white composers, you know? And so, yeah, it's sobering to think about what could have been.
I mean, that brings even more meaning to the fact that this production that you're doing features the first all-Black orchestral ensemble and the first Black woman conductor in Canadian opera history, Kalina Beauvel, performing your adaptation and your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it brings me pause. I'm incredibly happy that it's happening this way. I'm incredibly excited that, you know, Kalina is going to be the first Black woman conductor in Canadian opera history, and that she is. But it also always brings me pause when I hear the first Black anything in 2023, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm excited, and I'm just incredibly humbled by it all.
What did you want to make sure you got right?
Oh, I just hope, you know, that Joplin likes it wherever he is. You know, the composers, Jesse Montgomery and Janina Northpoth, who have done an incredible job at arranging this piece. We've had many conversations about Joplin. Well, do you think he would think this was okay? Can we move this? Okay, what needs to stay? What is Joplin's, you know, spine of this piece, and how do we need to preserve it? So we've spent a lot of time thinking and talking about him. And so that's what I hope we get right. I just hope that it does him proud and that it salutes the genius that is Scott Joplin.
I mean, you have this opera by Scott Joplin that, you know, people feared would be lost to time, and you're producing it. I mean, people listening to this on the CBC might know you from The Secret Life of Canada, which is a podcast about the country you know and the stories you don't. Before we go, like, what is it that you love, or what is it that motivates you about bringing these sort of not as well-known histories to light?
Every single piece of historical artistic work that I've taken on, I've learned how present it is and how necessary it is to understand what's going on today. And I don't think Treemonisha is any different. There are conversations that Scott Joplin wrote about in Treemonisha that are still happening in America today. And so that's how I learn. I learn about this time we're in by looking at history. And I hope that's what people are able to take away from this piece.
We're going to go out on a real slow drag from your adaptation. Can you set this up and let people know what they're going to hear?
This is a classic Joplin ragtime piece that he includes. It's the closer of Treemonisha, and a rag at the time was a dance. And so this is a real slow drag rag.
Leah, congratulations on Treemonisha. I can't wait to see it. And I'm so glad it's finally. I know you're not exhaling yet. I know you're not going to exhale until you're in the seat, but I'll do it for you. I'm so excited this is finally happening.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
To your heart, to
From the new version of Scott Joplin's almost lost opera, Treemonisha, that's a real slow drag. Before that, my conversation with Leah Simone Bowen, the writer, producer, and host of CBC's podcast playlist and The Secret Life of Canada, has adapted the Scott Joplin opera. You can see that version at the Luminato Festival in Toronto. It's opening tomorrow night, and it's running until June 17th. All right, that is it for this episode of Q. The other episode we put up today, one of the challenges of doing this job is I came into this job as a musician and like a nerdy folk musician. And I have sometimes struggled with acting, like talking to actors about acting, because it's just, I've never done anything like it before. I don't really understand it. And I sometimes got to nod along and think I get it. When Paul Gross explained to me how he approaches King Lear, why King Lear is so challenging, and what it takes from you as an actor, I felt like the whole world of acting opened up to me, really for the first time. Paul Gross is here. I highly recommend you listen to it, even if you're not like a big Shakespeare head. It's the other episode we uploaded today. I'm Tom Power. We'll see you soon, later on.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.